It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Beer before liquor, never sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. That popular saying does not take into account a growing drink trend that's perfect for the summer. Beer cocktails. Combinations of beer, liquor, or other ingredients that can be refreshing on a summer night. Food and drink writer Hal B. Klein joins us to talk about summer beers and some popular beer cocktails. Hal B. Klein, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me back on the show. It's good to be here.
So whoever said that you can't mix beer and liquor, what are the types of beer that you can drink in the summer as part of a beer cocktail?
Yeah, well, let's just start with beer first.
All right.
So we'll start with beer as part of the party. So the first thing to remember, and this sounds sort of obvious, but it's not always true, is you want your beer to be really cold during the summer. So during the winter, you know, if you're drinking heavier beers, it's okay to have it at room temperature, 50 degrees. Summertime
like
beers.
Like the English. Like the Irish.
Like the English do. But you don't want to do like the English do during the summer because it's cloudy and cold there. And in Pittsburgh, it's hot and humid and sunny. So you maybe want to start with a lager, which are a kind of beer. So there's lagers and ales. And lagers are fermented at a lower temperature. And they're generally lighter in alcohol and flavor. And they're a little bit crisp. So I think a lot of people are familiar with lagers. They don't even know about it. Budweiser, Miller, Coors, big beers like that are all lagers. But I'd recommend trying something with like a little bit more sophistication. So maybe a Brooklyn lager, or even in Pittsburgh, Penn Brewery makes a nice lager. And there are a lot of Mexican beers where you can squeeze a lime into them, and that's a really nice thing to do. Wheat beers are also something that's become really popular over the last couple of years. And they're, again, crisp, light. They're really refreshing. And if you put a slice of orange in it, that's really good. And a lot of local breweries, East End, The Brew Gentleman, all have great wheat beers. And so you can get those. But I think my favorite...
Then wait a minute. This is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So there are some people who would rather be, you know, dead than to be caught with fruit in their beer.
Yeah.
So what about that? And is there any stereotype that, you know, Pittsburgh is associated with, the shot and beer town that might... somehow dispel the idea that a Pittsburgh person can't have a beer such as you are describing?
Yeah, you know, I think maybe there is that stereotype, and I think people should get over it a little bit because there's nothing really that wrong with
it.
And,
right.
and also you think about, you see a lot of people, you go to a bar and, you know, if you order a Corona or something, it's going to get served with a lime in it, right? Or a lemon. And so a lot of people don't think too much about that, and they actually think if you don't get a piece of fruit, you know, with the Corona, there's something wrong with that. But maybe getting like a wheat beer and putting an orange in it might seem a little bit, you know, too much. But it's really
who decided that was the thing to do?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Like you get if you order a Blue Moon, you know, they'll give you an orange. And if you order a Corona, they'll give you a lime. Is there like a chart that tells you what fruit goes with what beer?
I imagine someone somewhere like spent a lot of time figuring that stuff out. And now it's just kind of become part of our culture. But I think also when you look at the kind of flavor profiles, they really match. Wheat and orange just go really nice together. Wheat beers and lemon go really nice together too. But that crisp Mexican lager with that lime just really adds some great flavor. Also, let me tell you about my favorite summer beer, because I think it's something that's like pretty less well known. It's called a Saison.
And Saison.
Yeah, it's a
Belgian.
That sounds
like a painting.
It sounds like, well, it's from Belgium.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, so it's got that. It's a little European. So, and in America, it's kind of known by a more kind of like proletariat name, Farmhouse Ale. These are less well known outside of kind of like the beer geek culture and community, but they're absolutely amazing. And they're low in alcohol, and they're a little sour, and like they've got a little bit of fruit in them, like just the way they're brewed, just the flavors. And this is something that like I'd really recommend people to kind of seek out and try.
So if it's a Saison, it's a work of art.
It's a work of art. It's a beautiful beer. And these are usually made by people that really care about the beer that they're brewing.
What are some of the other most popular beer cocktail combinations that you're seeing?
Yeah, so a Shandy is a great summer beer. And again, you're starting to see like this is becoming like really popular, right? So you're starting to see this commercials for it that it's basically beer and lemonade, or beer with like a fizzy lemonade. And you can make this yourself. It's really easy. Like the stuff that's kind of mass market commercial produced just has lemon flavor in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you can do 50-50 beer, lemonade, and it's just really nice and refreshing.
So kind of an Arnold Palmer with alcohol in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then a Michelada is sort of like a Bloody Mary of beer drinks. So this is from Mexico. It's beer with lime juice. So get the lime again. But mm-hmm. It's got salt, tomato, hot peppers, some people use Clamato in it. There's a lot of room to experiment. And this is like a real like kind of hair of the dog, you know. So not recommending, you know,
right.
You wake up on a hot summer morning after a hot summer night out and have one of these.
But if you're feeling guilty about drinking more beer, you can mitigate those feelings with the idea that you're getting your daily dose of vitamins and
little
minerals.
Vitamins. You could do this with,
of vegetables.
You can add some V8. Yeah. And put it with some lime juice and some hot peppers and a little bit of salt. And it's actually a really – it sounds a little kind of crazy, like beer and tomato juice, but it's actually like a really very refreshing drink.
Yeah, we had that when I was a kid. They called it blood and bud.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But if you want to add some booze to this thing, so you can make a snake bite, which is a lager and hard cider. So it's a little more boozy actually than just like a beer alone, but – the cider, again, like adds a little bit of lightness and refreshing flavor. So basically, you're kind of seeing a theme here of just, you know, these really kind of fruit, crisp, light, refreshing flavors. And then I was just reading about a drink the other day called a Sidewalker. And this is kind of a new cocktail created at a bar in Brooklyn. And this uses you chill apple brandy, maple syrup, lemon juice, and apple cider vinegar. And then you mix that with a wheat beer and a little bit of club soda and garnish that with a lemon.
And you fall face first onto the sidewalk, thus the name, the Sidewalker.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. But it's not, you know, there's a little bit of brandy in it, but again, you're adding like some cider and some vinegar. And I like, so again, this is like, you know, you're seeing this trend.
You've tried these things.
I've tried all these
things,
and
it does not make you sick?
No, not at all. It's great. There's this kind of trend with like with sour flavors. You know, you get that with the Saison, you get that with the Sidewalker, and you see that just in general with kind of shrubs, which are kind of a part of a cocktail that maybe we'll talk about one day. That
sure.
It just adds, you know, it just – when you think about kind of food and creating a dish, you want the dish to be really well-rounded and really well-balanced. And that's kind of what these drinks are doing too. They're just adding different flavors.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot of – you know, you got a lot of things covered with this, with these combinations. Should I feel like a dork that I don't know about any of this stuff?
No, I mean, that's the kind of excitement about all of this is that it's just, you know, it's going beyond just.
Have they been around for a while?
A lot of them. I mean, Saison's an old style. Michelada has been around for a while. Shandy's are around. But a lot of these things are coming from kind of cultures that are not American. So as the kind of global reach broadens out, you're going to start to see and experience and become familiar with a lot more of these different drinks. And I think it's just a general kind of place where we are right now where, you know, maybe nothing wrong with like a cold bud on a hot summer's day, but maybe people want to kind of experiment now and try a little bit more stuff.
Open up your mind, broaden your horizons.
Broaden and expand your mind.
That's what we're all about here. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We're talking with drink writer Hal B. Klein. He's also a food and drink writer, I should say. But, you know, we seem to end up talking more about drinks when you're here, Hal.
That's why I come
kind
here.
Of the way it is. So, all right, what's the difference between beer cocktails and fruit beers like a lambic?
So a beer cocktail and something like a shandy, you're adding the fruit flavor after the beer is made, right? So you're actually mixing a lager beer, generally a lager beer or a wheat beer, and then adding stuff afterward. Whereas with the lambic and some fruit beers, you're actually adding those beers during what's called secondary fermentation. So this is after the yeast has settled, you add some fruit, you add some other things in there, and that's where you're going to get the flavor and the extract. So it's going to be a kind of, I guess, like a deeper flavor, and it's going to be more incorporated into the drink, and you're going to get a little bit more fermentation from that. So those fruits are actually going to ferment, so you're going to get a different flavor structure from that.
Yeah, the fermenting fruit alone would add a lot of pizzazz to this. And I'm assuming something like a shandy might not be as good if I use, say, Guinness. So how important is the beer used to make the cocktails?
It's pretty important. I think when you're making these drinks, you don't need to get the fanciest beer available. You don't need to go and get a $14 beer to do this. But you want to make sure that you're using light, refreshing, crisp beers. Lagers and wheat beers are definitely the best to make these kind of cocktails.
Going to give you bitter beer face
if you use a Guinness or just a few.
Guinness is a good beer. May not go with these drinks.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't want to use a Guinness with these drinks. And a Guinness is a wonderful thing, though. I think on a summer night, if it's a little bit cool, maybe just have a Guinness by itself, or you can do a black and tan. You can actually make a snake bite with Guinness, and you can use some apple, some fermented cider, and that makes a really nice, refreshing drink. But for the most part, you want to use like a lighter beer, and you definitely don't want to use a beer that has a lot of hops in it, because that's just going to blow out the flavor of everything else. So stay away from IPAs and things like that for these.
Now, how about food pairings for some of these drinks? Because after all, you are food and drink writer, Hal B. Klein.
That's right. That's right. So you want to use, I think, the foods you eat during the summer. So fish, is really great, like just like a really nice grilled fish, a light white fish. Mm-hmm. It's really nice with a shandy. I think that's a really wonderful combination. Micheladas, you know, you could do kind of go towards Mexico, make some fajitas. I think it's also really nice with Thai food, surprisingly. I think the flavor combinations work really well together. So I think that's good. And again, it's like just like the things you want the kind of summer fruit to be as light as a lot of these drinks are. So you want to think maybe chicken instead of steak, really nice salads. Summer salads are really nice with a lot of these drinks. Summer salad with peaches later on in the summer would be really good with a lot of these. So again, if you can take a little bit of like the fruit maybe from the drinks and marry that into what you're making. So I, you know, during the summer, I love making salads, and I think you can just get really creative with that and have really nice meals and, you know, sit outside and eat this and have the beer together, and it's a wonderful thing.
Wow. Sounds delicious. And any trends, trendy drinks, I should say, for people that aren't big fans of beer, what should they do?
Yeah, I think, again, we can kind of look abroad a little bit. The Pimm's Cup is a classic British summer cocktail, and Pimm's is a gin-based herbal liquor. And it's got a lot of flavor to it itself. And then you mix that. The classic is to mix Pimm's with cucumber, lemon juice, and soda. And you can garnish that with a sprig of mint, a little sprig of rosemary or thyme on that. And that's really nice. There's some debate that if a Pimm's cup, do you actually add additional gin to the Pimm's? And I know a lot of people that do that. So if you want to punch up your drink a little bit, you can add some gin to that. And you can also experiment. You can muddle some apple in there. Some people put grapes in there. But that's a really nice, it's really refreshing. It's a little bit... it's a little bit tart, which is good, and it just really makes you just kind of get up, enjoy the summer. Sangrias are always nice, but I'd say during the summertime, using like maybe a Prosecco, a sparkling white wine, with some strawberries right now would be something that's really nice, or maybe orange and mint in there. You can do rosé. So again, it's like you say, you know, in the winter, fall, maybe you want to make a sangria with red wine, and right now using the white wine is going to just add like a really light, refreshing, and enjoyable aspect to this.
Food and drink writer Hal B. Klein joining us. Hal, it's good to see you again. Thanks for being back with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me back on the show.
Tomorrow, celebrate your country by listening to the Capitol Steps make fun of it at noon and 8 p.m. Friday, the program Burn, an energy journal, will air at noon and 8 p.m. Essential Pittsburgh will return on Monday at noon. Have a safe, healthy, and happy Independence Day.